He's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
James drives, scoop layup, pass to himself, and he throws it down.
He got the shot off. Throw it down.
Not to use it. Curry, way downtown. Bang! Bang!
Oh, you don't like that. You don't like NBA basketball.
Well, hello and welcome to episode 2 of the General Manager's Office. My name is Liam Ellison, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Jared Gunn. Jared, how are you today?
I am fantastic, Liam. I'm super ready to get underway today. Lots of stories.
Yeah, lots of stories around the league at the moment. The Utah Jazz had a couple of injuries to a couple of key point guards. Ricky Rubio and Dante Exum both out for 2 weeks. They're a bit bare at that position now, Jared. How will this affect our fantasy teams?
I think it affects us a little bit. It's actually going to cause a lot of problems for some, but I think it's going to bring some really big benefactors for some people as well.
Opportunity is the big word
there. Yeah, big opportunities. So we can just see already Donovan Mitchell, last 3 games that he's played, he hasn't dropped below 26 points. Which is really good because he's been a little bit up and down, Donovan Mitchell, this season. And I know some owners would have been a little bit disappointed with how he's played so far. I suppose Utah struggled at the start of the season as well. But, you know, he's regaining some of that scoring form that he did show last season.
Yeah, owners would be a little bit concerned about his play so far, Mitchell. But 33 points and 7 assists today against the Magic. And I'm kind of hoping across these next 2 weeks, Jared, that we might see him sort of take a little bit more of the ball handling. I mean, the 7 assists today is encouraging. Will we see a bit of point Mitchell maybe?
Yeah, look, I think so. It's also interesting to see that Raul Neto has become a starter as well.
Yeah.
With Exum and Ricky Rubio out. And he hasn't played too many games this season either.
Mm.
And he's seeing a bit of floor time. He saw over 30 minutes in his previous 2 games.
Well, it makes him a cheap little interesting option for daily fantasy, I'd say. I mean, he'll be really, really cheap in those formats. If you just plug him in for some easy, you know, you might get some points out of him. He might put up 10 points and 4 assists, something like that.
Yeah.
That'll be handy, I think.
Well, the game against Milwaukee, it was actually super handy. He had 10 points, 6 rebounds, and he had 5 assists as well.
Not bad.
And I was off 50% shooting too, which isn't too bad at all.
Yeah.
I think he's a decent streaming option as well for some teams.
Yeah, for a few games here and there. I mean, these injuries are only for a couple of weeks, but he will be relevant in those sort of in those ways the next couple of weeks, yeah.
Yeah, look, Raul Neto's a funny one. He's actually been a pretty nifty player his whole career. He's actually found ways to come to the basket and score the ball. And he is a capable assist player as well. So
not someone we talk about a lot with the Fantasy Basketball podcast, but with his injuries, it creates the opportunity for him, yeah.
Yeah, it's good. I think it's a good plug player because he is capable of scoring some easy points. But, yeah, like you said, only 2 weeks these players are going to be out for.
Yeah.
So, and also Thabo Sefolosha's out as well. So that's another problem to their backcourt in Utah. So, yeah, these players are going to see a little bit more time, like we said.
Look, I've got a feeling we'll talk about Donovan Mitchell a little more later on in our buy low, sell high segment. But there's another team with injuries to give some thought to, and that's the Golden State Warriors, because they're going to have someone coming back soon. And we spoke about this the other day, Jared. Boogie Cousins getting close. And then it got announced literally, I think it might have been 12 hours later, that the expected return date for him will be Jan 18. So not long at all for Boogie.
That's against my Clippers as well, so I'm quite excited for that. I'd love to put a good beating on the Warriors. Don't mind that. But yeah, look, they were talking about how they wanted to get his endurance right before he came back.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting one because Steve Kerr did say that they only expect him to play 10 to 12 minutes on return.
Oh, really? I didn't see
that.
Yeah,
so
I wonder how long that'll last for.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they're going to adjust him quite slowly.
Yeah, a couple of weeks. It'll be a month even.
Yeah. I know Golden State do have real problems at that center position, but I think the last thing they'll want is to ride off Boogie by rushing him back,
especially from an Achilles injury.
Yeah,
it's a bit of a no-brainer from them, but for fantasy owners, that's a little bit disappointing because you can't get much value out of 10 to 12 minutes, can you?
No. So look, I'd still be sticking with him if you've picked him up right now, because we know that he's capable of coming back and, you know, having some really big games.
Mm.
He's sort of going to have to sacrifice that for the first couple of games that he does come back, though.
You'd be thinking this time next month or mid-Feb, we'd sort of know what we're dealing with Boogie.
Yeah.
I mean, it might take him March to get up to full speed if he's able to do that. We don't know how he's going to recover from this Achilles injury. But mid-Feb, you'd be thinking by then, we'd hope he'd be playing 25 minutes a game and putting up numbers that are really good from a waiver wire guy, which he essentially is, considering that he would have gone undrafted in quite a few leagues.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Do you think that he's going to start? Because 10 to 12 minutes, he might start on the start.
Well,
on the but when will they...
What's the point of that if he's going to play 10 minutes?
I know, but will he end up playing in crunch time for the Warriors? I don't know, but...
I think the first few games probably not, but yeah, I think down the line, you'd hope so, wouldn't you?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah. That's why they did... Like, they brought him there to help him win a championship and, you know, for him to also rehabilitate there as well. Yeah, look, it's a really funny one in a fantasy sense because it could go either way. I think this could really be one situation where it's going to be an absolute godsend for many owners. Mm. But at the same time, if he does find it hard to adjust, we know that Achilles are a really, you know, it's a very big injury.
Yeah.
He's lucky that he's young, I think.
So, yeah, I'm actually not across how old Boogie is.
Yeah, he's definitely hasn't hit his 30s yet. I think he's about 27, 28.
Yeah, plenty of time to work it out for him.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. What do you think about Nikola Mirotic coming back? Because I love it. I love it.
You are an owner of Mirotic, aren't you? And I'm surprised he's not currently your Instagram DP, Jared. I know that's been a favourite move of yours in the past.
I love Nikola Mirotic. He is, you know, he's just super class.
Mm.
He's just one of those players where... he's just so good at what he does, shooting the three ball, gets a stack of rebounds. But he did return today. It was off a 12-game absence.
Yeah, that's quite a big stretch, isn't it?
It is a huge stretch.
It's about 4 weeks, isn't it?
Yeah, well, no, it was there. I think his last game was December 12th, so it was quite a while. But he came back today and he was 6-11 from the field, 4-7 from the three-point line, about 17 points.
Yeah.
In a points league, it didn't really add up to be anything too amazing. But I know for category owners, that's a pretty decent return for them.
Yeah, you would be pretty excited with that, I think. I mean, first game back from injury, there's always going to be a bit of rust there. But this guy has been really, really good the last couple of years since coming to the Pelicans. I mean, his rebounding numbers have gone up. He was only, you know, rebounding the ball about 5 to 6 times a game with the Bulls. And then coming to the Pelicans, it seems he's got a lot more responsibility there. And that was 8 rebounds a game last season after the trade, and this season it's been 9 rebounds.
That's
a
really
game.
Surprising as well, because they're stacked in the front court. They've got
the
AD, they've got Julius Randle, and they've also got him. And that's sort of a bit of a worry of mine being an owner, because I'm expecting a larger minute share with Randle, and it has been happening all season, but it has worked. It has really worked, because Randle's been a 6-man of the year candidate.
Julius Randle's been really, really good for them. Yeah. Yeah, he's been putting up nearly 20 and 10, I think.
Yeah, no, he has been fantastic. And they've just made it work in the front court. They've obviously got other problems, the Pelicans, and that's why they're struggling a little bit at the moment.
Yeah.
But
he'll help, though, Mirotić coming back.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Mm. I just don't know... you know, you hope he fits in, because he was injured for a little bit earlier in December. He was forced to come off the bench, and I saw his production drop just a little bit. I think it might have been, you know, a bit of an adjustment for him coming off the bench after he's been starting for this franchise since he got traded last year and then all the way through until that injury this year. So I think he's a better natural starter. So I'd be looking at that. And also, he might be someone that you could sell high. I know in our points league, and with our points system, he does average 21 points per game.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it's a really good number. He's been super good. He was one of my best to start this season.
So as someone who follows him really closely, given that you're an owner, where do you project him second half of the year?
I think, look, I honestly expect him to drop a little bit. I don't think it's going to be dramatic, because he came back today and it was actually a very good return for someone that hasn't played for a month. 4-7 from the three-point line. Seems like pretty natural.
It's handy. You've got the three-point shooting, you've got the rebounding, he scores well. Yeah.
So I think it's just going to drop a little bit. Randall's really cemented himself over the, you know, past month with him being out.
Yeah.
So nothing to be too worried about as an owner. I think he's still going to put up very handy numbers.
Okay.
But at the same time, I think it's just, you know, expect a drop off, and, you know, it shouldn't be a surprise.
Bit of a watch this space, I think.
Yeah.
For Nikola Mirotić. Hey, how about Klay Thompson? Earlier today, well, obviously Australian time we're talking today. It might be yesterday for US time. Klay Thompson, 43 points off 4 dribbles, Jared.
He was due. I said this the other day that he was due for
you called it. Yeah.
And, like, he wasn't playing too bad. I had a look at his stat line. He had 26 points the other day. That's nothing to frown upon. I want to talk about Klay a little bit, though, because his three-point has been, you know, three-point shot this season has it's been heavily reported that it's dropped off quite a bit.
Yeah, 35%.
Down
from 44 last year.
Yeah, and if he's a 42% three-point shooter over his career, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Do you expect that to increase?
Yeah, I think it's actually really positive for fantasy owners because, yeah, he's been fairly average from beyond the arc this year, but that means there's a chance to bring it up. I don't think he's going to shoot 35% on the season.
No.
I mean, yeah, he might not get up to 44%. He'd have to shoot the lights out to get it up there. That won't happen, but I reckon he can get it back up to 40, which means we have some big games like this to come. It's a bit of a law of averages things, if you like.
Yeah, look, you'd really hope so because he is a high-volume three-point taker.
Yeah.
Obviously, the game yesterday, he was 7 for 16, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
But that is a lot of three-point shots. And that game where he had earlier in the year where he broke the record, and the game was 24 three-point takes.
Yeah, he was jacking him.
So if he's feeling it, he's going to put the shots up. And, you know, his percentage will look good. It'll be over 50% for the game. Mm. But I think it's, you know, he's a guy that he always seems to be available in most leagues that I've played in because...
Yeah, in terms of sort of trading for him from a... That owner.
Yeah, for me, exactly. I found that he's someone that's, you know, people put him on the table because he has games where he's not playing badly for his team, but statistically, he doesn't do too much other than, you know, being able to score the ball. I think this year it's only about 4 rebounds and 2 assists per game.
Yeah, that's probably fair. Yeah. 4 rebounds, 2 assists. He's not really... He's giving you a steal a game, which is okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. But look, I've actually... My take on Klay Thompson is that there's been a lot made of his shooting struggles. And from the three-point line, that's real. But he's still averaging 21.5 points a game this year. So it's like he hasn't really lost too much. I mean, his best years as a Warrior, he's been shooting 22 points per game.
Yeah.
So if we see those percentages come back up in the second half of the year, which I think we probably should, then, you know, he's having as good a year as ever. And I think he's one of the guys that perhaps we'll talk about next week when we sort of delve into who are the guys that can have a really big second half of the year. He might be a guy we talk about.
Yeah. A guy like Klay Thompson, he can really only go up, I think. Mm. I can't see him falling much below, you know, that 35% range that he currently is at.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think he sort of reached a pit, if you like. And now that peak is still, you know, yet to come.
So, Liam, we're in the Ryan Saunders era.
Ryan Saunders era. One game in undefeated, 100% win-loss. Unreal from Ryan Saunders.
But we're going to talk about, you know, a player that we do like to talk about here at the GM's office.
Sometimes we like to talk about him. Andrew Wiggins. I believe that's who you're talking about.
Andrew Wiggins, it is.
40 points, 10 rebounds the other day. Played really well against OKC.
Yeah, I was shocked. So we're having a bit of a live message about this game.
Yeah.
You messaged me alerting me that he was currently on 38 points. And I'm like, whoa, all right, this is interesting. Because we know that, you know, heavily reported as well that Andrew Wiggins is having a, you know, bit of a downer this year.
Yeah, it's been a roller coaster ride for Wiggs. I mean, now after that game, he's averaging more than last season, so he's up to just under 18 points per game, but his percentages have been pretty poor. I mean, he's shooting 40% from the field this year, which is down on, you know, he normally shoots about 44%, 45% on the year. And his three-point percentage is pretty good. He's sitting about 35% again, which is, you know, for him, that's actually quite a good mark. Never been a great three-point shooter throughout his career. So he's doing all right in those categories. But I reckon we can see Wiggs sort of get back up to 20 points per game. Now, look, he's a bit the same in Clay as he's only going to give you about 4 rebounds, 2 assists. Very similar in that aspect. But he's a scorer. If you need points, if you need that sort of thing, he's pretty good for that.
I think that's what you need to sort of, you know, bank on Andrew Wiggins doing if you're going to continue owning him, is that you would really hope that he's going to be able to score 20 plus a game.
Yeah.
Because I find that, you know, if he's not doing that, his fantasy value is pretty low.
Yep. Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, yeah, as I said before, he doesn't give you much else. And he doesn't shoot the ball at very high percentages. So if he's not scoring, giving you volume scoring numbers, what else is he doing?
Yeah, see, it's been one game since this coaching change has happened at Minnesota. So, like, I would not be banking on this, you know, being, obviously he's not going to score 40 points every game, but being able to be, you know, scoring that amount of points per game, I wouldn't bank on that for a little while. Just watch his form, see how he's going. Because, again, if he does continue this, you know, someone that, you know, you might want to have a look at, maybe you could be trading him because you can't trust him to keep that form up.
Yeah, possibly. If there's anyone that will bite, I don't know whether he has a lot of value in the fantasy world at the moment. I will sort of touch on the coaching change. I think this could help him a little bit. I mean, Ryan Saunders, you know, reportedly and from what I've seen. He's a guy who likes to talk to his players. He's got a good relationship with a lot of his players, which is the complete polar opposite of Tom Thibodeau. And I feel like that style could help Andrew Wiggins a bit. I don't know how much he really liked Tom Thibodeau. It's kind of hard to when he's barking at you every single day at work.
He's a scary man,
he's
isn't
a scary man. You hear him on League Pass and he's just barking away. I mean, Zach Lowe does a perfect impersonation.
It's that, Doc Rivers, you know, former coach, has, you know, got those nice grizzly voices.
Yeah.
It's quite scary.
Yeah, never sits down, never relaxes.
He just needs to be cuddled, doesn't he?
Tom Thibodeau needs to be
cuddled. No, Tom Thibodeau, Andrew Wiggins. He needs a bit of cuddling.
Well, I think Tom Thibodeau could do with a cuddle as well, to be honest.
Yeah, bring him over the Clips. We need some more defensive intensity in our game, so
yeah,
I'll take
I'm
him.
Sure he'll get a job, something like that, assisting coach. Yeah,
yeah, no, I think he'll be okay. I think Thibs is respected around the league.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
He's been dragged through the mud a bit with this whole Jimmy Butler thing. But, yeah. You know, he's got some deficiencies, if you like, but he's a great, experienced coach. So, yeah.
Exactly.
Keep an eye on Andrew Wiggins. He might be something to watch, but let's not get too carried away there. Kyle Kuzma, big game today, Jared. 41 points in three quarters as the Lakers won quite comfortably against Detroit.
Look, I saw this and I was like, I'm not too surprised because, you know, they haven't got many options at the moment, the Lakers.
Yeah.
But it was a huge win for them to cement today, and he went absolutely off. I think, how many threes did he make?
I don't have that in front of me currently.
I think it was maybe five or six threes that he made today.
Yeah.
That was huge, in three quarters as well.
Yeah. I was surprised he didn't actually get on the court in the last quarter. It was only a 13-point margin in the end, but they obviously thought that they had the game in hand and got it done comfortably. So, I mean, look, this year we were sort of talking about, or a lot of people were talking about Brandon Ingram being the second option on the Lakers team, taking that step forward. And, you know, if you had to pick anyone, it'd be Kyle Kuzma. He's at the moment going at 18 points a game. So very handy. He's taken a step up from last year. Looks really good in terms of taking that next sort of step forward. But he is shooting 29.7% from the three-point line, which is very, very ordinary.
Yeah, it is ordinary. He's had some big games from the three-point line, but then, yeah, again, another high-volume shot taker from that range.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that one doesn't surprise me too much.
He did shoot just under 37% from three last year, so he might be a guy who can bring it up again.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I think the Lakers, it's a funny one this season. I just want to touch on Lonzo Ball for a bit as well.
Yeah.
So his form's been very up and down. He had a really good game today with the 11 assists and five rebounds and 5 points.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder where that's going in that situation at the Lakers, because Rondo's out again for quite a while.
Yeah.
LeBron still is still going to be out for a couple of weeks too with that groin injury.
Are you talking in terms of the Lakers win-loss? Are you talking in terms of what are we expecting from Lonzo Ball?
Well, exactly. What are we expecting from Lonzo Ball? Because I don't know if he's been able to take this opportunity with two hands. It was reported.
Yeah.
I remember reading it somewhere maybe yesterday, talking about how he was playing better with LeBron in that lineup.
Yeah.
And I wasn't expecting that. I thought he'd be able to come in and, you know, provide a bit of leadership at the point guard position, but it's really been reflecting upon his stats. So it's a bit scary for fantasy owners.
You raise a really good point. I mean, Rajon Rondo and LeBron James both out at the moment. That would give Lonzo a huge uptick, you would think, in his, you know, ball handling, how much he's got the ball in his hands. So I have not been watching a lot of Lakers games since. So I'm not an expert on this by any means, but I'm the same as you. I'm wondering, why has he not sort of taken this and run with it?
Yeah, so I think as a owner for Lonzo Ball, I'll still be holding tight, because when LeBron does come back, you know, it could be a bit more of a... He plays a bit off the ball when LeBron's in that lineup, from what I've seen.
Yeah.
So might find it a bit easier to score some points, and we know that he's a very good defensive player.
Mm.
And he's capable of you know, stacking up some assists and boards at the time.
Well, look, last year he was very good in the second half of the season. He was fairly slow to start the year. So who knows? You know, there is guys that do that a lot. They come out and they just blow it away in the first or second half. It's a long season, 82 games. It might be Lonzo, but I agree, it is a little bit alarming that, you know, LeBron James and Rajon Rondo out, and he hasn't really done a heap with it. So, yeah, is a touch worrying. I think it's time to move on now to a second segment today, buy low, sell high. Now, I think this is pretty self-explanatory for most fantasy experts. It's pretty much guys that we think you can get on the trade market for a low value or their lowest possible value, and guys we think you should sell while they're at the highest value. So I think we've got Donovan Mitchell today to start off. And we both think, I think, Jared, he is a buy low guy. What are your thoughts on him?
I think he's definitely one I'd be looking at. I think with this minute increase that he's going to get with Exum and Rubio out of the lineup,
yep.
It could sort of, you know, I don't know if motivate's the right word, but get him up and going for the rest of the season. I said it before, he hasn't dropped below 26 points in these three games that haven't been present in the lineup.
Yeah.
And I think with the... You've seen his minutes increase as well. I think he was around the 31, 32-minute range. He's played 38, 39 minutes per game very recently. If he's sticking at that range and his production's increased a lot, I think he's someone that you could get in the buy low. A lot of owners that do have him right now might not be willing to stay with that consistency that he's shown previously this season.
Yeah. I think a lot of owners would have brought him in expecting big things, you know, this big breakout year after, you know, his second half of last year and the playoffs where he was really strong. And it hasn't quite happened that way. Although, when you look at his stat lines, Jared, he's actually been really similar to last year, just shooting a bit worse. Like, he's pretty much averaging bang on what he averaged last year in terms of points, 20.7 points per game compared to 20.5. And he's putting up very, very similar assists and rebounds numbers. So I don't know whether he's been perhaps as bad as people have made out to be. I think it's more of an expectations thing.
Yeah.
But he is shooting 41% from the field, which is a bit down from last year, and only 31% from three. So I really think it's only up from here for Donovan Mitchell. I think, you know, he's been not too impressive to start with, but I think you can get him now where owners are a little bit frustrated. He's not performing to where they wanted him to. Grab him now.
Yeah, I agree. Grab him now. That's one I'll definitely be looking at. Now, another favourite of ours, Jimmy Butler. So we know that he's, you know, there's been a few problems. He's had a few problems, apparently, with the 76ers franchise, with his offensive role. And it's sort of shown that he hasn't taken off with leaps and bounds since this trade has happened.
Yeah, and he's only averaging 19 points per game on the year. We did speak about this last episode, actually. But look, I think this is not going to continue. If Jimmy Butler is going to be around in Philadelphia the rest of the season, he'll work his way into it. He'll start to get, I would think, more of the ball in his hands. And, you know, he likes to handle the ball. He's a very good isolation scorer. So I think Jimmy Butler, it's only up from here for Jimmy. I mean, you know, there's been a little bit of rumblings of problems there, but I think that just follows him wherever it goes. They're not necessarily going to have a big impact on his production, I wouldn't think.
Yeah, just having a brief look before the show, I was sort of looking at what he was like around the 22. He's played 22 games for Philadelphia. I was looking at what he was like at that sort of range when he came to Minnesota.
Yep.
I think once he warms into that system a little bit longer, it just showed that his points were increasing per game.
Yeah.
Last season. His steal totals have still been very similar since he's come with this trade, so I wouldn't be worried on the defensive side. But offensively, I think his role will just naturally increase. He didn't have many low-scoring games after that 22-game mark that he was at Minnesota.
Yeah.
So obviously it's a different team, different system, different players in that team. But I think you just got to back in an all-star like Jimmy Butler to be able to show that form that he's been capable of.
I think so too. I mean, I'm pretty sure last year when he first started at the Timberwolves, he was scoring about 18 points, 19 points per game, very similar to now. And then all of a sudden after those first 6 weeks, he started putting up about 25 a game. So he really worked it out. And if you're an owner, I mean, his numbers are almost a little bit deceiving from last year because they just dipped a bit low from that start. But if you had Jimmy Butler last year, he was performing really higher than that when you needed him to. Obviously, he did have that six-week knee injury, which did hurt owners last season. But when he was out in the court, very, very valuable for you. And I think you can expect something similar. So Jimmy Butler is a buy-low guy. Just feel out owners, I reckon, in your leagues.
So another player that's returning back from injury that we're talking about in this segment is JaVale McGee. He's someone that we might be looking to sell high, Liam.
Yeah, I'm not just sure. I mean, JaVale's been really, really good to start the year. He was right up there to start proceedings. I mean, in terms of he was a top 50 guy for a few weeks there. And he's, you know, Tyson Chandler's come into the mix. I think it's Zubac, if I've said that correctly, has also been getting some, you know, inconsistent minutes for the Lakers. So I don't think they're going to JaVale McGee quite as much. I mean, he's only averaging now 23 minutes on the season. So do you just get what you can for him at this stage?
I think so. I think you should be selling him the prospect that he is the main starter for this team.
Mm.
So he's going to see some floor time 100%. And also, yeah, look, on that prospect of early season form, he did have good players around him. So LeBron was around him. He's not playing with him at the moment due to that injury.
Mm.
So maybe he does lift when some of the veterans do return for the Lakers. But he takes it, since he's come back from injury, he's had some really high volume shooting games. So like he took 16 shots against Oklahoma at the start of this year, 2019,
yep.
And then another 14 shots against New York. So I think that's a little bit concerning for him to be taking that many shots per game, and he's sort of sitting at that 50% range, which you'd like a bit higher for a center.
He did have 18-9 against the Knicks, which is, again, that's a really great way to sell him to someone. You know, he's still putting out some decent performances, but I do feel, Jared, that it is only down from here for JaVale, who's absolutely outperforming expectations, and it really wasn't realistic for him to get that same role on a playoff team that the Lakers obviously should be.
Yeah, I think if you're looking for a guy that's going to get a stack of rebounds, he's always going to be a really good option.
Yeah.
But on the prospect of him getting consistent double-doubles, I don't think it's going to be something that will happen.
No, I mean, he's only averaging 7 rebounds a game now, so it's not really up in that 9 to 10 range where you'd like to see it. He potentially could be if he gets the time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, see what you can do with JaVale McGee. I think a lot of owners may not bite on it. I think some people might see through it with the way his sort of minutes have dropped off. But definitely get what you can for JaVale McGee while his average still looks pretty nice. Otto Porter Jr., Jared, this is another guy we spoke about last episode. What are your thoughts on him?
I think Otto Porter Jr. is one that you should definitely look to find on the buy low right now, because we spoke about it on Tuesday that, you know, John Wall's out of this lineup right now.
Mm.
So some points have got to be scored by someone on that team. And we know that Otto Porter Jr. is a capable scorer.
Yeah, they had a nice win today, I think, against the 76ers. And he got about 23-8, I believe. So he's looking good. I mean, he actually injured his thumb a few days ago, had x-rays and came back negative. So he's good to go. Didn't miss a single game. But Otto Porter Jr., I agree, Jared, has been down this year for the Washington Wizards. And I think that, you know, given that his shooting percentage has dropped, I mean, his three-point percentage is 38% at the moment. It was 44% last year, which is really, really, really good. So if he gets that back up there and his field goal percentage gets up back above 50, I think this is a guy who will start to score better and really be, you know, a big second half of the year candidate.
I think that, like, what he played today with the 23 points and 6 rebounds, I think that's exactly what you want from Otto Porter consistently in the future for this season. Because if he's providing those numbers at a good, at a half decent field goal percentage, he's going to be in a points league scoring you some decent points. And also, you know, if it's a good field goal percentage as well, and, you know, 6 rebounds is not too bad for a small forward.
Well, while it's going to be hard for him to score 23 points consistently, I mean, if he can get back up to that 15 points per game mark that he was at last year, I think he can definitely do that.
Yeah, I think I've got high standards for him. I think he's capable.
Yeah, he started off last year red hot.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm remembering a lot, is that he had some huge games at the start of last season. So I think he should take the opportunity with two hands and come out really strong. And I think he is capable of it.
Yeah, he definitely is. I mean, I've just got his splits up from last season. I mean, he started off October, only 6 games in October, obviously, but 18 points per game then. And he had a 19 point per game month in February last year. That's over 12 games. So had a big year last year, Otto Porter Jr., helped him in that contract, obviously, and if we can see him get back at least somewhere close to that, he's definitely a good buy low guy, because I reckon owners would be frustrated with Otto Porter Jr. right now.
So we've got another new segment that we're going to introduce today, and it's called Did You Know?
Yep.
Okay, so it's sort of where we bring you as the audience some really quirky stats that we've found over the past few days with some popular NBA players.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to start off with Russell Westbrook.
You go.
Yeah, so we've got one positive stat, and we've also got one very negative stat. So for the third season in a row, he's averaging a triple-double. Doesn't surprise me, because Russ is a very active rebound getter. He's leading the assists for the NBA right now.
It probably won't surprise a lot of people, but I feel like it's something that got talked about so much in the first year, and with good reason, that now that it's happened 3 years in a row, it really doesn't get mentioned.
It's funny that the NBA is going in this trend of players going for heavy. You know, it doesn't surprise me that a player like Ben Simmons is getting triple-doubles, because he's an absolute monster
mm-hmm.
in terms of size. But Russell Westbrook is, you know, he's, I don't know how tall he is exactly, but, you know, he's a point guard.
Yeah, I think he's 6'3 or 6'4.
Yeah.
Obviously crazy athletic. But yeah, it is surprising. I mean, he started off his career averaging about 5 rebounds per game. And for that to double, no one would have picked that.
And something that has been heavily criticised, this isn't the negative with Russell Westbrook, is that he's averaging 23.5% from the 3-point line this season.
That's woeful, isn't
it? Yeah, it's atrocious. I think a guy like him, hopefully he's sort of realising that he needs to tone that down, because I think it's hurt them a lot this season, OKC, in some games that they've lost, is that he's taken some silly shots.
He's shooting just under 5 attempts per game. But when you're shooting at 23%, and I know he's capable of shooting better, but not really. I mean, his career high in a single season is 34%. That's his best. Often he's around the 30% range. So should you be shooting 5 attempts per game if you're shooting the ball at 23% from beyond the arc?
Probably not.
Yeah,
I think they've been lucky that Paul George has come out and played in that old Indiana fashion that he used to.
Yeah, he's been unreal.
He's been absolutely unreal. All right, do you want to speak about one of your favourites?
One of my favourites? Well, I mean, let's not get too carried away, Jared, but Karl Anthony Towns. He's been good the last 6 or 7 games. Just going to read out some stats. I mean, he hasn't set the world on fire this season, Karl Towns, but 28 points, 15.5 rebounds, 4.4 assists, and just under 3 blocks per game over the last 7 games, I believe that is. So he's been really, really good, Jared. I mean, obviously against OKC, only had the 20 points and 9 rebounds. That's actually brought those recent stats down a bit. But he was on a tear and actually having some like 6 assists, 7 assists sort of games, really stuffing the stat sheet.
So that's not even bad, having 9 rebounds. Like for a center, that's all right. Mm. And even just looking at his blocking numbers in some of these games, you know, he had that game against Miami where he had 34 points, 18 rebounds, and he had 7 assists and also 6 blocks.
I think he had 3 steals to go with
3 steals
as
well. So that's chuckers. That's awesome. And then you've got, you know, the rebounding's been crazy from him in this stretch since, you know, Boxing Day. So he's had some huge games. And I don't know what the change has been. You'd probably know better than me.
I think, you know, he's capable. He's capable, and he's been a little bit down this year. There's been a lot going on. We've spoken about that, and owners will be relieved, I think. I mean, this is a guy that would have been taken probably top 5 in a lot of cases, you know, at least top 7 at minimum, I'd say, Karl Anthony Towns. Some people are very high on him, maybe even top 3. So you'd be happy with this. I mean, this is what this guy should be doing, having stretches like this. I'm hoping that he'll get back to that sort of 25-12 season that he had in his second year. So
yeah, look, we're pretty much halfway through the season now, so he's got another 41 games to increase those averages.
Yeah.
And I think he will.
Yeah, I think so.
That stretch just shows that there's been some sort of turn, and then maybe a new turn with this Ryan Saunders era.
Possibly. Another Kentucky guy who's been, I think, actually a teammate of Karl Anthony Towns, Devin Booker, averaging 6.9 assists per game. That's quite a big uptick on last year. He's been good, Jared.
Yeah, I think in the month of December, they announced that he would be assuming the point guard role in Phoenix.
Point Booker. This is what I wanted from the start of the year. It's just perfect.
Yeah, so, you know, along with the 25 points per game that he averages, that's a very, very handy stat line.
It really is.
In fantasy. I love that. And he was someone that I was scared of. I remember in the draft, I saw him, he was available at my pick. I think it was similar range when I was picking CJ McCollum, and it scared me off because he is a high volume shot taker.
See, I was the opposite. I was actually very high on him in the draft. I thought he would come out because of their lack of point guard at the Suns. I thought he'd come out and play the point guard position and do exactly this. Didn't quite do that to start the year, but he's really come on the last month or so.
Yeah, I think so. He's taken that opportunity with two hands, obviously. He's had a few niggles this season.
I think he missed the last game due to back spasms. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So hopefully that's not too much of a concern. But that's something, yeah, if you're an owner of Devin Booker, you'd be wrapped with that.
Watch this space. Hopefully he can even add a little bit to that assist total, bring that up to 7.5.
Yeah.
But if he can get that to be, you know, a big part of his game going forward, now in his fourth season, only 22 years of age, a bit like, you know, these days, obviously, a lot of players come into the league young. That's just how it is. But, you know, if he can continue to build that and get that assist total up to, you know, 8 or 9 assists down the track and be a really, like, high-usage guy like the James Hardens and the like, I think that's completely, you know, that is completely within his talent, I would say.
I wonder if he's basing it off James Harden's big point guard season he had a couple of years ago. Because he definitely can play a similar role. Really depends where Phoenix goes in terms of, you know, if they draft a point guard in the future or find a trade. I think it really depends, because I think he's not too bad off the ball, Devin Booker.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, this is a little bit of a necessity thing for the Phoenix Suns. So will this continue? Not sure. But if he shows that his ability to do it, perhaps they'll see it as, you know, this is where we should take Devin Booker. Take him to the point guard position. He's better there. That's, you know, this second half of the year, we'll see that.
Yeah.
Possibly.
And then the last player we're going to talk about in this segment is Brook Lopez from the Milwaukee Bucks. 2.6 3-point makes a game.
3-point marksman, Brook Lopez.
Yeah.
How about it?
Yeah,
it sounds weird to say it, doesn't it?
It does. And look, I remember when he was playing, I think it was when he was playing for the Lakers. It might have been towards the end of his Brooklyn tenure.
Mm.
People were wondering, why is Brook Lopez taking all these 3-point attempts?
Like, yeah.
What's happening here?
He's shooting just under seven 3-point attempts per game.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So he's just under the 40% mark. Not too bad.
Yeah.
But we've seen a big drop in his rebound. Actually, no, I wouldn't say a big drop. He's never been a great rebounder, Brook Lopez.
But he's down to four a game.
And if he's taken more attempts from the 3-point line, it's not too surprising. He's nowhere near the offensive boards at all.
Yeah. You say that it's been 0.4 offensive rebounds for Brook Lopez. And he's, throughout his career, always averaged about 2 to 3 offensive boards a game. So you're completely spot on there. But yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you never would have thought the 7-foot center Brook Lopez, you'd be getting him in your fantasy team for 3-pointers made and not rebounds.
Yeah, I know. We were having a good laugh yesterday at him. You know, I think it was late towards the last quarter. And he had that, you know, he had got the ball and it was a huge pickup three.
Yeah.
And we're just like,
it was deep.
Deep as. I'm like, wow. Geez, seven. Yeah, like you said, the 7-foot Brook Lopez making huge threes. Who would have thought?
Yeah, so if you're in need of 3-pointers made in your league, Brook Lopez could be a guy. I mean, he might be available on some waiver wires because he's not huge across a lot of other stats, only about 12 points per game. Does give you a couple of blocks as well. So that's a combination of 3-pointers and blocks are quite rare from one player. So I think that's quite handy in categories, actually.
Yeah, 100% very handy in categories. I'm not very surprised at the 3-point attempts. We know he's a capable player, Brook Lopez. Can score a stack of points, but I think he's filling in a really nice niche for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, I was about to say exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
I think it's going to continue. I mean, they've found the right guy for their system.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now, our last segment, it's quite a funny one. We like it. Get him out of here.
Get him out of here. It's a nice one, isn't it? I mean, this is a segment where we sort of talk about guys that we think you might need to move along, whether that be via the waiver wire or via trade. Often it might be trade. Let's just talk about the more notable fantasy guys. And who's the guy we're talking about today, Jared?
This is very relatable for you as a previous owner, but we're talking about Chris Paul today.
Long-time superstar of the league, Chris Paul, but had a lot of injury troubles recently. I mean, Mike D'Antoni said, I think it was a couple of days ago, Paul likely won't return until the end of January. So that's actually not too bad. It's only about 3 to 4 weeks away. But they're going to take their time with him. I mean, they need to get him right for the playoffs. And he has been very injury prone the last few years, hasn't he?
Yeah, no doubt he has been. And the thing that's concerned me with CP3 this season is that his form's actually dropped quite a little bit.
Yeah.
3 points less per game. But also the fact that his assists have dropped down to 8. And he's a big assist guy. You know,
I mean, 8 assists per game still really good.
Yeah, it's still very good, but like for a premier point guard in the league, I think that he should be near that range. Obviously, he's getting old.
Do you think it's to do with James Harden?
Maybe. I don't know, because last season it wasn't like he was too low, was he?
He was about the same last season, 8 assists per game. Yeah. So I think that might have something to do with it.
Yeah, but the thing is, he plays a pretty efficient game, Chris Paul.
Yeah.
And I think his efficiency's dropped a little bit this season. He's had some bad shooting games.
Yeah.
And I think the main thing is why you really should be offloading Chris Paul is that it's obvious that this guy is so injury prone.
So for owners who think, hey, I'm in a decent position, I'm a few games above 500, maybe I'm 3 or 4 or 5 games above 500, I'm good, I'm set, I'm probably going to make the playoffs, and this guy's only out for another 3 to 4 weeks, let's just hang on to him. I'm not going to sell him why his value is this low. Why would you say that they still need to get rid of him?
I still think that if you're in a position where you need to win games, it's just too much of a risk.
Yep.
You can take that risk when you're a bit higher up now.
Mm.
As we can see in our league, that's what has happened, is that the top team has taken a punch on Chris Paul coming back.
Yep.
But does it scare you that maybe could the Rockets rest him in that last few games of the year to make sure that he is cherry ripe for the playoffs?
That's a good point. especially, I mean, that's something we always worry about in fantasy basketball, is it gets to the end of the year when it's our playoffs. But for a lot of teams, it's the complete opposite. They're resting guys, 10-day contracts galore. Yep. It's all over the shop. Mm. And Chris Paul, you're right, is the perfect candidate for a team that could be well and truly secured in their playoff berth, that go, we need this guy to be, you know, cherry ripe for finals, and they rest him. It's a very good point you raise.
I think Chris Paul in the future, in terms of future drafts, when we're talking about next year and years to come, he should not be anywhere near the first round.
Oh, absolutely not.
No, I don't know what he was taking at this year, or even the second round. Yeah. It's just way too risky. That you don't want a guy who's only going to play 40 to 50 games per year. He hasn't played 82 games since 2015.
Yeah, it's quite remarkable. I mean, he's obviously putting up the last couple of years, 58 games for Houston, 61 for the Clips, and then a couple of 60s for them. So, yeah, you're right. He's played 80 games three times in his career. I'm just looking at it. So,
yeah.
And it's not going to get any better for him.
Yeah, I think his biggest priority is playing playoff basketball. You don't blame Houston for not wanting to put him on the court. But as a fantasy owner, we do blame them. So,
I think you're right. The word for Chris Paul right now is risk. I mean, yes, he's not too far away, but it's a risk going forward. He's still injury prone. It could, you know, get re-aggravated, that injury. So I think it's a bit of a risk versus reward scenario for owners. If you're banking wins and you're fine, maybe hold on to him. But if you're anyone who needs to win, I think get him out of here, Jared.
Get him out of here.
All right. I think that wraps up all we've got time for today in the episode 2 of the General Manager's Office. That was a good one.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun today.
Yeah.
I think it went well. So thanks for listening, guys. Please, if you are listening on any sort of format, you know, feel free to contact us. We're leaving lots of links in the description of our channels and our Spotify. We're still waiting for it to go up on Apple as of now.
Hopefully, still getting things started.
Yeah, still, we're still in that starting stage. But if you are listening, anyone out there, we've got a viewer out in the USA already after about 36 hours, which is one viewer. We don't care how many it is. It's just promising. We want to hear back from anyone, any feedback we can get. It's just super exciting for us.
Absolutely. We hope it's the start of something great. Well, hopefully we'll have a lot more viewers on board very soon. As we said, very early days in our journey, Jared, but we'd love people to get involved. Leave a question if you want. We can always answer questions on the podcast. So love to get a bit of a community going, hey?
Exactly. Liam, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at LiamEllison29. That's my handle. And your handle, Jared?
My handle on Twitter is Jared. So JARRID. Bit funny. 23GUN. GUNN. On the twits. So, like I said, feel free to contact us if you want to give us any sort of feedback. We'd love it.
We are the GM's office. Thanks very much for listening, guys.